Okay, I got a little something for you from the Bible in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. What's going on in Acts chapter 10? Does anybody know? Anybody? Cornelius, the Gentiles are getting the gospel, right? Let's bow and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord. So in Acts chapter 10, what's happening, if you aren't familiar, Peter is up on a rooftop having a vision of food because it's right before lunchtime. But the food being presented to him in the vision is in a sheet, and it's all what the Jews knew to be unclean meat, something he couldn't eat. And the Lord said in the vision, rise, Peter, kill and eat. That's a hunter's life verse. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. So he said, you know, I've never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord's like, don't call unclean what the Lord has cleansed. He showed that to him three times. And then suddenly there are three Gentiles at his doorstep where he's staying with Simon the Tanner. And the Lord helped him to understand that vision was about these three guys. They said, we got a fellow back there named Cornelius. He's had a vision to come call for you. You need to go down there and you need to preach. So the next day, Peter gets with six other men. They follow these guys down to Cornelius' house. And when they get there, Cornelius is waiting on Peter. And here's what he says in verse 30. Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So when he gets there, when Peter gets there, it's not just Cornelius. It's Cornelius, it's his house, it's his kinsmen, it's got some friends. He's got a group there. And Peter, as you know, begins to preach the gospel. And in verse 43, when Peter says about Jesus, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Those guys are believing, the Holy Spirit falls on them, and after the Jews realize that these Gentiles have gotten saved, Peter baptizes them. It's a very remarkable, thing that happened here in so many respects, not the least of which is this is the opening of the gospel to the Gentiles. It's remarkable. But tonight, what I'd like to do is have you think of yourself, even though you're now already saved, I'd like to have you think of yourself as Cornelius and those people that he invited to his house as kinsmen and friends of yours that could be invited to your house. Just, you understand? I know you're saved. Cornelius wasn't, but Cornelius anticipated he was going to hear something from God. And he did not want to hear it all by himself. He wanted others that he knew to hear it. So he invited some kinsmen, some friends, to come to his house to hear what Peter had to say. All right, with that in mind, when I think about soul winning, I realize that we are missing one of the greatest opportunities that we have before us. You know people. I know people. You know people that need to be saved. But just like those Bible students in Papua New Guinea who were being introduced to this big campaign, you get nervous when you think about how am I going to tell them about Jesus Christ and how is the Holy Spirit going to use me to lead them to the Lord? And I know you do because I felt that. I've experienced it, not even heard from others. Remember when we did the tracting of the houses before Christmas one year? 6 times we went over there and hung rubber banded tracks on the doorknobs in the neighborhood. And all of y'all that have been involved in passing out New Testaments, the 25 of you, I encourage you each to go get somebody else, recruit them to come with you. We had 50 people, and Sunday after church, we just run over there in 30 minutes. Every house was tracked. And come back, and we'd have a little debrief, and then everybody go. Well, I remember one person came back after 3 times of going. Because I said, if one person's going to hang the track, the other person stay on the sidewalk and pray for the people in the house. Well, after 3 times, this person came back and said, "Brother Welder, you'll never believe what I did today." I said, "What did you do?" Well, I was the prayer partner. Every time we've gone, there is no way I was going to go hang that track on that door. But I'll have you know today, I actually went up there and I put a track on that door. Now listen, if I'm standing here in the pulpit and I'm telling you, you better go out there and lead your neighbors to the Lord, and you're scared to death to hang a track on a door in a neighbor's house, whatever I'm saying is just going to fall on deaf ears. Because that's too much of a leap, right? And I get that. In other words, I always say, if you're training people to go soul winning, find them where they are and help them make a step in the right direction. That was a step in the right direction for that person who got up enough courage to finally put a track on a door. That was, to me, that was like, that taught me something, and that was a great victory for that person. But now, thinking of yourself as Cornelius and the people that were at his house as people that you know that don't know the Lord, if we follow the example of Cornelius, there are 4 things in that little text that we read that I think we can learn about this opportunity to be used of God to help another person come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number one, he prayed to God. Number one, he prayed to God. Look back there in verse 30 again. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Okay, well, you probably won't get that. But he was praying. He was praying. I don't know what he was praying for, but when he got his answer, he recognized there was something about what he was praying that in a way involved the other people, because he invited them to his house. I prayed in my house. Look at verse 31. And this man that appeared said, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard." Wow. "And thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." Can you imagine having the confidence of the thing you're praying for, God has heard? Don't we have prayer promises like that in the Bible? You know, while you're praying over the things you pray for, it would not be a bad idea to fast and pray for somebody you're concerned about or some people you're concerned about who aren't saved. Would you agree? Let's try that again. I mean, I'm not usually one that's looking for a chorus of amens to my preaching, because I realize when you're sitting quietly, you're listening. But this one probably does deserve an amen. I think it's a good idea, don't you, that we pray and even fast and pray for people that don't know the Lord that we know? Yeah. I really do. Over the years, this, what I'm going to tell you, has happened enough times that I realize the Lord honors your prayers for the lost, people that you know. I've been praying, I've got a list of names, for a neighbor or a friend, and the Lord will just impress upon my heart, hey, we're Gentiles, we don't need to see the vision of a man coming in our house. We seek after wisdom. But you know what? We sang a song today, "Follow On." You and the Lord have enough of a relationship now. You know, don't you, when he's leading you in a particular thing. There's, however he does that in your life, you just know the Lord has put somebody on your heart that you've been praying for. I can tell you, and I'm not going to because it's Wednesday night and we need to get to praying here in a moment. But you know what happens is, that happens, and then you go and you find out that in fact the Lord had directed you, there is a divine appointment waiting for you when you get there. And I think sometimes what happens is we're burdened and we think about it and, oh, what should I do? And it's hard to put footsteps because we haven't even started with the prayer. So tonight, before you go to bed, when you get home, because you'll have a little bit of time before you go to bed, think for a few moments about some people that you know aren't saved that you're concerned for. And write them down on a piece of paper or in the notes of your phone or wherever you have a list, and make this a special prayer list that you're going to pray over on a regular basis, that God will do something in their lives to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he prayed to God. Second thing that he did in here in verse 32 is he requested a preacher. In verse 32, "Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee." So he sent and he called Simon. You know what I have seen again, and man, I have seen this so many times. You, because I've been there personally, may feel that you are inadequate to the task of answering the divine appointment and actually saying whatever needs to be said in the gospel to effectually present the gospel where the person you're talking to might get saved. You may feel like you don't know how to do it. You know, we've had classes on it and things like that, but let me say something to you. You know somebody that does know how. I do. Brother Tony does. Brother Milton does. Brother Lynn does. And I have a bunch of other people. Brother Dole does. Brother Eckstad does. Brother Chris does, I'm sure. If I'm leaving you out, don't go. Brother Ori does. Brother Wyatt does. Okay. I don't want to. You'll feel bad because I didn't name you. I'm not trying to do that. And I only name guys, and I know some of you ladies can. But I'm telling you, particularly when it's a close friend, particularly when it's a relative, it's harder. It's harder for you. You say, do you know that? Every time that I went to see my dad for 2 years, every month, to talk to him about the Lord, I always had somebody with me. That was my dad. Staunch Catholic. We didn't get off to a good start on this when I tried it the first time. And there was somebody there to help me to say if I couldn't say. And that really helped. So I'm saying to you, Cornelius requested a preacher. He was, of course, told to do so by the Lord. But you know something? When you're praying for a person that you would like to see led to the Lord and you're just not sure how to tell them, you can get somebody here that does know to go with you. Yeah, you can. And should. Cornelius did. You know, I'll say this, Ore learned a lot about leading souls to Christ. And when we say leading souls to Christ, you understand the Holy Spirit's the one that's saving them. You're simply leading them through the gospel. Learned a lot about that in the 2 years that we spent together working with Show. And then we've also knocked on doors, and we've been out on visitation, and we visited with other people. But what I'm saying is, a lot of it you learn by being there next to a person who's doing the work you don't know how to do. You pick it up. It's easier to do by observing than it is to do by schooling. Yeah, it is, isn't it? If you're trying to work on, let's say, do something mechanical and you don't know how, you can go to YouTube, but how much better to have the person that really knows how to do it right there with you, walking you through it step by step with your hands on it, right? All right, so he prayed to God. He requested a preacher. The third thing he did is he scheduled a time. Look at verse 33. Immediately. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. You know, He knew, so he said 4 days ago I was fasting, right? So he sent the guys over there, they spent the night, they came back. He knew how long it was going to take for this round trip. And those guys he sent over there knew the urgency, and Peter had already been warned by God, he knew the urgency, so they didn't dilly-dally around. They got sleep that night, next day they're off, they're heading. So from the time that this vision appeared to Cornelius to the time that Peter shows up, 4 days, and he knew that's what it would be, because he's got the people gathered at his house waiting for Peter. So he scheduled a time. This is elemental, but we don't often think about it. Scheduled tasks get done. Scheduled tasks get done. I can think of so many illustrations of it. But if I have something on my calendar that's an appointment, I'm going to make that appointment. But if you and I are talking, say, you know, we ought to get together sometime and have lunch. It may be 2025. But if it's on the schedule, right, it gets done. So he scheduled a time. He made, if you will, an appointment. The Bible says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury is like poverty. Nothing ever gets done. So tonight here I am talking with you, and we could be talking about this, and you could actually go home, make a list, you could go home and start praying. But if after the Lord impresses your heart, you don't get in touch with a preacher and say, hey, I've got somebody, can we schedule a time too? Whatever, meet at my house, meet at the coffee shop, meet for lunch. It'll never happen. The prayers will be heard. The person, you know, will be, but if you don't get it, and I don't know in my time in the ministry how many times I have been invited to a schedule thing like this, but many, many times. And I'll say to you, those are exceptionally good opportunities. Folks, if I said to y'all tonight, as soon as we leave here, let's go next door and knock on some doors, man, I'm all revved up about soul winning. You'll be very discouraged when I say to do that next Wednesday. Half of you wouldn't go, and the next Wednesday, the other half of you would make excuses, and I'd be over there by myself with one other person. That's not high, whatever you want to call it. It's not unnecessary. It's necessary work, but it's not high production work. And I'm going to tell you what, the person you know that you're praying for, and God lays on your heart, that will listen to you and your preacher. Now that's what I call high production work. Then it was in Cornelius' house. You see it? Okay, so he scheduled a time. And I said, it's not uncommon for me during the week to have one of these scheduled and go and actually meet the person and start talking about the things of the Lord. Last thing, verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present. I love that. Before God, no less. You talk about a divine appointment. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? For what purpose? To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And I love it. Peter gets there and goes right into the message. You know, we have a tendency as people to do icebreakers. And you know, sometimes you might spend the whole time breaking ice. At some point, you want the gospel. At some point, the Lord wants the gospel. At some point, they need to hear the gospel. And they do. He invited guests, and they heard the preaching of the gospel, and people got saved. People got saved. You say, well, I'm afraid, preacher. I hear you preach here, and I don't want my friends to meet you. Then ask somebody else. Because when it's all said and done, and we're gone, and they're still here, you don't want the sadness of knowing that you could have, but didn't. Because you were concerned about what they would think if you and your preacher were together with them over coffee. Don't make the decision for them. Let them make the decision themselves. Most people who have had opportunities to visit with other people about their souls are gentle in the presentation of the gospel to people because a soft answer turneth away wrath. I'm trying to make them mad. I'm not trying to upset them. You want to see them saved. You have to be gentle with them sometimes. He said here, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So it doesn't just come out to be a meet and greet. It really is a Spirit-led opportunity to preach the gospel. And I really, really encourage you, just think about what we've heard tonight, watching Cornelius and the way he handled this situation. Pray to God for, make a list so you know who it is you're praying for. I'm reminded about that list, by the way. I don't remember the evangelist. It might have been D.L. Moody that came to one town. Do y'all remember? I gave this one time before. There was a girl and her mother. They were so excited about D.L. Moody coming. But she had probably what would be like an autoimmune disease back then, but it had become very crippling. By the time, you know, so they heard long before he came that he was coming. By the time he came, she was bedridden. The girl was. So the mother got to go. And every night after the mother would come home from the preaching, the little girl would ask her mother, did anybody got saved tonight? Did anybody? And she'd say, who got saved? Do you know any of the people? It was a community where you'd know most of the people, or a lot of the people. Yeah, so-and-so got saved. The girl would just rejoice with tears. And so when the campaign was winding up, the little girl died. It was a very sad occasion. And as they were removing the sheets from the bed, they found a list under her pillow. There were 56 names on the list, and like 50 of those people had gotten saved during that campaign. Yeah. I mean, I'm just telling you, God listens to you praying when you're interceding on behalf of the lost, just like he listens to Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, who's there making intercession for the lost. Pray for them, and then as God impresses upon your heart to speak to them, speak to him. But if you really can't, request a preacher. Get somebody to go with you. Make an appointment. Set up a time. Set up a time. And invite them so they can hear the gospel. You'd be amazed. It is the most obvious fishing hole, if you will. It's the most obvious fishing hole that you have for souls. It really is. Don't neglect it. The fish in your pond. Don't neglect them. And if you ask me, I promise you, I'll pray, and we'll seek God to deliver the message as much as we can tell what God wants them to hear. Amen? What do you think about that? Yeah, let's do that. Father, we're thankful tonight to be able to read in the Scripture something that is very instructive to us. I pray you'll help us remember what we're seeing here. And now go home and do something about it, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.